Tonight it's my privilege to welcome Pastor Hercules Opperman all the way from Stellenbosch in our midst. Hercules is a good friend of Heinrich and mine. We've known him for a lot of years and we respect him and we honor him as a leader and a friend. Thanks, Hercules, for coming all the way. Hercules' wife is about 37 weeks pregnant, so, wow. So open your heart tonight and let's hear what the Lord wants to say through Hercules.
Let's invite the King of Kings here tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you tonight. Father, with a desire to just experience your presence. Father God, come and just make us whole again. Father, I want to pray that you will break every bondage here tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we bring this building, we bring, Father, every person and the contention for their spirits tonight. Father God, for their soul. And tonight we pray in Jesus' name that you will be the one who speaks to us and reveals your heart's desire to each one of us individually. And Father, I pray that as you move with your Holy Spirit through this place, that we will find the liberty, Father God, of following you, Father, wholeheartedly. And as we heard tonight, Father God, that we do it out of our hearts because we are serving the King of Kings. And Jesus, tonight we want to celebrate the cross. We want to say that there's nothing as powerful as the blood on the cross for each one of us. We know that, Jesus, the power lies within the blood. And tonight we want to celebrate that. We want to say that nothing is too big for you. And that nothing in our lives, Father God, can be overcome, Father God, by the enemy and his evil plans. And tonight we consecrate ourselves unto you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. I want to first of all just congratulate Philip and his wife. That is awesome, right? They've got a newborn, and he's at the hospital probably, I presume, with his wife. And you can now just think that Philip is smiling from this ear to this one. And he's a father, so you're supposed to congratulate him. So please send him an SMS tonight, congratulating him on something very special. I want to speak to you tonight about something that is very special to me, something I believe God wants to speak to all of us in a time such as this. And you know what is so beautiful is that Jesus is busy preparing his church, and it's an awesome time to serve the Lord. It's just a wonderful time just to be part of whatever God is busy doing in our midst. And you and I can just partner with what Jesus wants to do at this time. And I want to just quickly read through Luke chapter 5 verse 1. If you can turn with me in your Bibles. If you've got your Bible here tonight, please turn to Luke chapter 5. I'll give you some time. Because tonight, I want you to follow with me to see that the Word of God is powerful. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5 verse 1 to 11. Verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him listening to the Word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got out into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." I just want to say that again. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their net, their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. I want to just quickly tonight speak about what happened in Peter's life. Now for us, it's a beautiful picture of Jesus connecting with Peter for the first time. Peter having a few boats, having a business, and at this stage, if he comes back from the waters as a fisherman, we know that every fisherman will tell you, if you don't catch fish, you don't catch fish. If the fish is not in the sea and you cannot catch them, then then you must know that when Peter speaks with authority in saying, "Listen, there's no fish. We tried the whole night, then there is no fish." So when he gets to Jesus, we also know that for Peter, it's important to get a revelation of what Jesus wants to speak into his life. Because when Jesus says, "Throw out into the other side," things starts to happen. But something very special happens in Peter's life. And I want to read in John chapter 21, verse 1. Go with me in your Bibles, if you've got your Bibles here again. Verse 1 of John chapter 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. They said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now this is at the end of Jesus' ministry, and again something happens. Again Peter, it's like deja vu, because here the same thing happens. Early in the morning, Jesus stood at the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Verse 5, he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you got any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net because of the large number of fish. Something happened in Peter's life. Again, where Jesus could speak into his life again and remind him something great that Jesus called him to. Verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, and Jesus was now at the shore preparing some fish for them, and he is busy with a conversation with them. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Now something that Jesus wanted to fix within Peter's life, and I know for each one of us tonight here, Jesus does exactly the same thing. He's beating us at our own game. The things that we so easily think that we can get together. Because immediately when Peter did not have Jesus at his side anymore, he said to his friends, "Let's rather go and fish." And then Jesus meets with them at the seashore. And when Jesus speaks into Peter's life, first Jesus is reminding him of what happened when he denied Jesus three times. And then Jesus again reminded him three times, because of the three times that he denied Jesus, Jesus reminded him by saying, "Do you love me?" But something very special Jesus was reminding Peter of, and that is that, Peter, forget about what happened. And start to fulfill the thing that I've been calling you all along. Start to see that I've called you to feed my sheep. That I've really called you to become a fisher of men. Somebody that can really follow me with a heart's desire to know that there's nothing in this life more important than serving me. And I want to say tonight, you know what? It is time to give our whole livelihood. It is time tonight to give our whole livelihood to the King of Kings, to understand that we are beaten by our own game. Because when Peter are confronted by this, I believe Jesus are very deliberately speaking into Peter's life because of the principle of Peter, I want to call you back to what I predestined you to be. Now I want to ask you tonight to come back to what Jesus Christ has called you to be. To come back to what He has predestined in your life and for your life, because one thing that I know about Peter's life is that if Peter did not get this right, he would have been the bellboy in heaven when we get at the throne room of God. But guess what? Peter understood how to make right with Jesus, and therefore I know that he will be on the 12 thrones judging the people when we get into heaven one day. It's a sad story for me. Just this yesterday morning, I was driving in Stellenbosch, and as I was driving, I heard just the whole thing about Lucas Maria. And I heard about his daughters that loved him so much, and with his death, that, you know, the family are really mourning. And again, I was just so confronted by the fact that you and I must understand that we are living this life for a reason. That Jesus is reminding Peter, Peter, I want you to understand that if you don't get this right, you won't have a life of fulfillment. And therefore, we will stand at the judgment seat one day, and I know that there will be two things that we will be judged for. The first thing is our involvement in the kingdom. That the measure that we in this life are measured by, if we come to an end of our lives, is the fact that how much did you contribute towards the kingdom of God? Not because of doing a lot of things for God, but did you do what God expected you to do? The second thing is, how much did you contribute into somebody else's life to fulfill their life's calling? Because if you and I understand that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, His only begotten Son, so that you and I will have a relationship with God the Father, that we will understand what is the things, the yoke on His heart. What is the yoke on Jesus' heart? Can I ask you again, are you with me tonight? Can I hear from somebody else? What is the yoke on Jesus' heart? It's for the lost to come to God. For the lost to experience a living relationship with God the Father. And if we want to have that easy yoke, we must understand that there's a partnership that Jesus is asking us to move into with Him, where we understand the yoke that is upon His heart for those who must still get to Him, to Father God. And therefore, experiencing the fullness of God the Father means that we've got an obligation to see God's kingdom come and to really experience Him in His fullness in our lives. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Are you with me tonight? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. That we understand that in this process of serving God, and I want to encourage you, I've read this book of, John Bevere, of Living for Eternity. Go and read that book. It's a wonderful book. But you know, one thing that I know about Jesus Christ that came to tirelessly work for the church, to build the church, is that He has a desire to see God's house being built. And with such obsession, we know that David did the same because he understood that God's house was something very precious. Now, we know that God the Father is the architect of this life that we are living in. The fact that He Himself created this world that we are living in, and He created each one of us to be part of this world. But then He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as the chief cornerstone, the chief contractor, to build Him a house. And therefore, Jesus came down, but you know what? The work is not finished yet. Because eternity already started in you and my life. But it's long not ended. Because it's already being lived as you are sitting here. Life is not starting when you and I die one day. Eternity is already living as we sit here tonight. As we approach every person from day to day to experience the life-giving power that we speak into their lives. The expectation that we have to experience them flowing in the gifts and to experience the fullness of God in their lives. And as it unfolds around us and we see the architect fulfilling His life's purpose or His purpose for each one of us, we find our life's purpose within building God's house. And Jesus being the chief cornerstone, the one who decides who built this house. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of building projects in my own life. And, you know, it's always like that, that somebody comes to do the plumbing, somebody comes to do the tiling, different contractors does different things. But there's a chief that decides who's the contractor and what is the timeline in which it is fulfilled. For us, it's Jesus Christ that is building the house of God until He comes back for His bride. He's working tirelessly and He's giving us the opportunity to be part of it. And so often we as Christians are so controlled and manipulated through our own life's calling and, you know, this purpose-driven life, and I've got this great calling, and if you can just see what God is busy doing through me, that we forget that God has a bigger house than ourselves. That God has an eternity that He's talking about that is bigger than just the obsessed life that we are living. And that's why Paul can say, listen, every day is a life where you lay down your life. Every day is a time where you decide to say, Jesus, I want to be part of this project. I want to be part of that which you are busy doing in this universe. And God, it's such a privilege. Nothing that I have is my own. If I can only live for you and if I can just be used by you so that I can be a living instrument to see your house being built, that is an awesome experience. Because when you get into that place where you fulfill life's calling and you fulfill that which God has called you to, you start to live life where you can say, God, this is what I've been made to do in this lifetime. Such a special place where you and I can find ourselves within the will of God. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit helps you and I to fulfill our work perfectly in the will of Jesus Christ. If we are willing to lay down our lives. You know, Peter repented, and I believe, you know, Peter did awesome things for God. But I want to just say, this slogan is special to me. You'll not be judged according to what you did, but rather according to what you've been called to do. Are you with me tonight? We are so busy with God things, or things of God, but not with the things that God is expecting us to do. There's so many very nice Christians There's so many very nice people, but they are not fulfilling that which God has called them to do. And I think we will be surprised when we get into eternity one day, or into the judgment throne room, where you and I will be judged, and I think we'll be surprised to hear what God's expectation was for us. A place where you and I can find the promises of God. I want to mention three things tonight about fulfilling that place and getting into that place of living eternity right now. And the first one is to see God's will earnestly. You and I must ask, we must knock, we must push, we must say, God, I will not end this search before I don't have more of you. There's a place where you and I understand Revelation 3 verse 20 when Jesus says, I'm knocking. And I want to enter into a feast with you. No, that was not written to the unbelievers. We so often tell that Jesus standing at the door of your heart and He's knocking. That is not what that scripture is talking about. Revelation 3 was written to the churches, which Jesus Himself will be coming back to. And then He says, I'm knocking at the door because I want to have a feast with you. You and I must have an expectation and an urgency to have God in our lives. There's a place where we, you know, live on the edge for God, where we know and we want more of God. Beautiful for me. I've got the privilege of training the ministry training program guys, which goes into the ministry. They come for 6 months to Stellenbosch, and then we send them out as pastors. I know Alistair and I. Was he the only one from this church? Yeah. Has gone through the program. You know what's so special? At the beginning of the 6 months, I make them sit down on the beach. And then for a whole day, they must ask God for words for every day for the rest of the 6 months that they will be at the headquarters. Then they pray for the rest of the day and ask God, God, on the 13th of February, on the 13th of March, on the 20th of June, what will happen on that day, which is of significance, because I want to have an expectation for what you're going to do in my life. You know what's so awesome? Is the testimonies that comes out of that. When people come back to me and tell me, listen, it's just awesome. This morning, the word that I've been writing, that I written down 6 months ago was shoes. And I thought I was crazy when I wrote it down. But you know what? Somebody gave me new shoes today, which I couldn't afford. But you know what? In the busy lives that we are living, a thing such as shoes and the provision thereof and the miracle that God is busy doing in our lives, we miss so often because we don't have an expectation of God's work in our lives. And we so often forget and don't see the miracles that God is doing in our lives. One morning, one of the MTPs, he's a farmer. For 6 months he went through the training and then he's pastoring the church now at Cirrus. The one morning he was on his farm and his word for the day was, today you are going to glorify, or I'm going to show myself and my glory unto you and unto other people around you. And Christoph, you know, this morning was in such an expectation of what God is busy doing. Later that day, about 4 crates with fruit fell on one of his workers. And the guy died. A medical person came and declared the person dead. And he was crying out to God and he said, God, please, this cannot happen on my farm. This is your farm. That guy woke up from the dead. God was glorified that day. So often we forget that God is an awesome God, but we don't have an expectation and we don't push into a living reality that God is with us. His glory is all around us. It's not just for those who are super spiritual. It's for every one of us that can trust in Him and put our trust fully and wholeheartedly in Him. And that's why I'm saying to you, make sure to seek God's will earnestly. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. The second thing that I want to mention tonight is the one of being planted. And it's so beautiful to see you young people here tonight being excited about the Lord and the work that God is busy doing in this church. You know why? Because God is busy planting you as a very special seed to be a blessing unto others. Let's just quickly read the scripture. Psalm 92 verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know what I'm thinking now? Court sounds to me like a place of judgment. Are you with me? Courts are speaking of a place of judgment. And when it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, I want to tell you, God has a very, very, very great respect for you and I when we slot into the bigger picture of His body and we start to serve as you guys are doing. Because God loves His church. And that's why Paul could speak about even the communion and say that we must love the body and we must respect what God is busy doing in the body. 1 Corinthians 12, he speaks about the body and being different parts, but all fulfilling different functions in one body. Now, we know that in Peter's life, Jesus confronted him so often. You know, Peter was one of those guys that always said things before thinking. But you know, Jesus had a plan for his life. Matthew 16 verse 18 says, and I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. This was not Peter. But because of what Peter said before this, it was the revelation of Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. As soon as you and I find ourselves to get to the revelation of being sons of God through Jesus Christ, you know, God draws us in to be planted in His house and to understand that there's a function and a place that He wants us to fulfill. Now, Acts chapter 6 verse 3, I want to just show you a tendency that happened in being planted and functioning within the church of God. Acts chapter 6 verse 3 speaks of it. Therefore, brethren, seek out from you among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, I just want to say at this stage, in Acts chapter 6 verse 3, a lot of work started to be accomplished through the New Testament church, and great exploits was done through the church. And then they got to a place where they understood that certain functions within the church were supposed to be fulfilled and it could not. And they started to bring the church, a structure in the church where everyone could fulfill his function. Now, I just want to show you the blessing of being planted in the house of God. Because Philip was also one of these guys that was appointed. Prochorus was one of them. Later on we read about Philip's role, I think in chapter 21 of Acts, where it speaks of Philip the evangelist. He was not just the one serving tables anymore, but he started to proclaim the gospel as he was busy serving within the house of God. But listen to this. Acts 2 verse 41. You must follow with me now. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Are you with me? Add it. Just say with me, add it. Also in the beginning of Acts chapter 2 verse 47, it speaks of praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Just say, add it again. Acts chapter 5 verse 14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And now something changes within what was being said in the Word of God from the sixth chapter. Acts chapter 5 verse 42, and daily in the temple and every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. But in chapter 6 now, after the functions was given to different people and they were starting to fulfill the bodily work, the work of being part of a bigger picture. It says, now in those days, and from there onwards, you see the same thing happen. In those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now it speaks of multiplying. After this chapter, in Acts, we see the same thing happen over and over and over again. That now people are not adding unto the church, but multiplication is busy happening. I just want to mention to you the difference. When people are added unto the church, if we add 10,000 people per month unto this church, it will take us 60,000 years to get the whole world saved. But if we use multiplication, where you and I start to speak to other people and share the gospel with them, and they, after us, again to others, multiplication starts to happen. Now, if two people every month are multiplied, it will take us 33 months to get the whole world saved. Something different started to happen in the Acts church. There was a multiplication that started to happen when people was fulfilling their functions. I want to say to you tonight, being planted in the house of God and serving faithfully here is an awesome reward because Jesus is coming back for His bride. There's not a lot of people these days that believe that. If I can just, you know, sit in my TV room and just listen to the God channel and all, and I'm not mocking the God channel and all these channels. What I'm saying to you tonight, you need the body of God. You need to be part of the functioning body of God so that you can fulfill your function as well. Where we can start to flow in the gifts and start to operate in that which God has called us to. The last thing that I want to mention is that we must loosen ourselves from this world. That's why I'm saying to you tonight that it's so special when we understand that our whole livestock is that of the Lord's. And I'm not saying tonight you must throw it into the offering basket. I'm telling you tonight that something must shift within our heads because Jesus Christ is fulfilling church every day, not just on a Sunday. Everything that we live for is for the kingdom. Listen to this very mature statement in 2 Peter 1 verse 14. It says, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Now this is a very mature statement because Peter understood when God wanted him to leave this world. I don't know about you, but I don't know the exact plan of God for my life. So it will be quite difficult to determine when my time is ending here on earth. But there's something very mature that Peter understood later on in his life. Not in the beginning. Because he missed Jesus time and time again. But there's something very mature that happened in his life that when it came to the end of his life, he could say, God, I know now that I fulfilled everything that you've called me to. The same thing happened to Paul. Listen to this scripture. Acts chapter 20 verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I can finish my race with joy. Oh, if you and I can just know what is the promise of God for you and my life. If we could just realize what have we been called to do. And we could find ourselves in a place of fulfillment where God could use us time and time again. Luke chapter 9 verse 57. And I want to end off with Luke chapter 9 and 10. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Verse 58. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Maybe I should just read this. Your life must be less concerning to yourself than the will of God for your life. Let's go to verse 59. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Verse 60, Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, I want to say to you tonight, I thought this was very cruel. Since I've been very small boy, I remember thinking about this scripture and thinking if my dad should die one day, I would just love to bury him. I would just love to be the one next to his grave. Because that is the least that I can do. Jesus, this is not fair. But let me just quickly explain to you the context of this scripture. In biblical times, it was known that the firstborn always got the double portion. Which meant that if you were the eldest brother, you received 2/3 and your other brother will receive 1/3. You will find yourself to get twice as much as your brother when it comes to the inheritance. But only if you would bury your father as the responsible person, the eldest son. If you would not do that, then the second brother will be doing it and he will receive the double portion. So when Jesus speaks to this young man, he was not telling him, you can't bury your father. He was talking about the securities in his life because he knew that for him the most important thing was what he had and what he could get. And Jesus is always challenging us to understand that eternity starts when you and I can leave everything behind and follow Jesus. And this is the difficult part. Because in the gospel, we so often find ourselves that we don't want to talk about these things because it's a much nicer just to talk about, you know, the nice things, the worship before the Sunday service, the nice camps. But I want to tell you there's a place where you and I lay our lives down to understand that Jesus Christ has called us for a life of eternal value. There's priorities that we must get straight in following Him. That is just beautiful in His sight. Now in verse 1 of the 10th chapter of Luke, it says, after these things. Now why is it in the beginning of a chapter talking about after these things? What things? The things that was spoken of in verse 59 and 62. After these things, after Jesus settled within their hearts these things, it says, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face, into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into the harvest. Now you know what? I know God is the architect of this big plan that he has. Let's stand tonight. I know that God the Father has awesome things for us in store. We can either break our heads about it, or we can just surrender tonight and say, Jesus, we just want to be in your boat. We want to be at the place where Peter was, where Peter had to admit that, Jesus, you are beating me at my own game. Because Peter did it again. Jesus turned away. Peter went back fishing. There were securities in his life. There was things that he could do very easily. There was things that he did not have to convince himself about, because he could do it very well. Let's go fishing. But that was not what Jesus called him to. Jesus changed his life the day at Luke chapter 5, when he spoke into his life and said, from today, you will be a fisher of men. There's eternal value that God is placing in your life tonight, today. We are not living for tomorrow, for one day. I want to be very clear about that tonight. You know what? Faith is not one day. Faith is not the hope for one day things will be happening. Faith is the place where you and I step into the promise of God by just releasing ourselves and say, God, I cannot, but you can. God, I've got a lot of giftings, and yes, I've got the ability to study and become a very great person. And I often see this within businessmen. Before they start off, they are so committed. Lord, one day when I, you know, have a big kingdom, I'll glorify your kingdom. And you see that happen. Because when they've got a lot, then they forget about the real kingdom and the eternal value. I want to challenge you tonight, out of your socks. You can be offended by me tonight. Because I'd rather have you to understand what is eternal value all about than you leaving this place tonight. I had one guy coming to me who was also a student. He said to me, God can take anything away from me except my guitar. I need my guitar. That is my place of peace. I said to him, guess what God will be taking away first? And I remember he came back to me. He said, God said to me, this is an idol in my life. I'm going to lay it down for a season. I'm not saying tonight you must lay down anything. I can tell you that there's something special when you connect with the heartbeat of God. When Jesus stands at that shore and he makes that little fire and he says, come and sit around this fire, let's talk. Let me just remind you again of the things that I've been calling you to do. Let me just remind you about the things that is dear to me. Don't do religious junk. Don't become involved with church activities. You're going to lose your sanity. You can be so involved with a lot of things and miss the God of the things. You and I must start to just connect into that place of the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. Jesus, your heart. Jesus, your will for my life. Jesus, help me to understand the yoke that is on your heart. Let me get excited about the things that is on your heart, not my heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, stand in front of you tonight. Not because we deserve to. Father God, we are sinners. We are sinners, and we sang it tonight, Father God, that we are sinners. Oh God, but we receive mercy through the blood of the Lamb. We receive mercy because of being made righteous through Jesus Christ. And tonight we ask you for the blood. Just give us, oh God, the opportunity to be righteous by your grace. We stand in front of you tonight, Father God, and I pray that every person here will experience a living relationship with you. Not a religious relationship, Father God, of religious junk, Father God, that we so often place on ourselves, but a true relationship, understanding your heartbeat and the things that you've called us to do. Oh Jesus, let us be like Peter tonight, and like Paul, understanding what is our life's purpose and knowing that there's an end and there's a beginning to a race that you've called us here on earth. But oh God, we want to fulfill that. I pray that no condemnation will be here tonight in the name of Jesus. We cut down, Father God, everything that exalts itself against your knowledge, because you are a God that makes us free. You are a God who brings sinners to not being captive, but being free. Being free indeed, in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. If you don't understand praying in the Spirit tonight, just pray in an own tongue. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We live for eternity. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, let your presence be among us. Be the center, Father God, of this meeting in Jesus' name. Oh, Sanama Sanaba Sutama. If you are in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't walk out of this place tonight and think that things will become alright. You cannot live without Jesus. You need Him so desperately. You need to run to Him. If that is you tonight and you don't know Him as Lord and Savior of your life, maybe you've made a decision long ago, but ever since you've wandered off, you don't know what His life's purpose is for you. And I want you to raise your hand as far as possible above your head tonight. Don't tonight fight against it. In fact, I want you to come to the front tonight and be very bold, because you are walking into your eternal life tonight. If there's anyone like that tonight, be very bold. Oh, Sanabasikiti Alabasurubusukiti. Father, I want to commit this group unto you. I want to pray that something very special will shift in our hearts tonight. Father, I want to pray that as we go out of this place tonight, that we will truly partner with you to our life's destiny and purpose, where we know what you've called us to do. And I want to pray in Jesus' name, as we go out of this place, that Father, we will receive a heart for others who need to connect with you as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you tonight, because I want every one of us to be prayed for. And therefore, I want to ask you, if you don't know Jesus Christ or you are afraid, don't walk out of this place now. Because this is the most important part of this meeting. I know that you want to go home. I know that there's a lot of other things that you can do. But I want to tonight just trust that within a group of three or four, and I know this is intimidating, this is difficult, because it's not always easy to pray with other people. But I want to trust tonight three or four of you together will pray about eternal value in your life. But be honest with the people that are in your group. Just say, listen, you can be very honest. Just say, listen, I don't know Jesus. Listen, I've wandered away. Listen, Please pray for me because I want to know what God's plan is for my life. Is that all right with you? Will you give me 5 minutes for that? And just pray for one another that God will bless us tonight before we go out of this place so that we will embrace the eternal value that He has on our lives. Amen? Great. Just quickly turn together with three or four people. We'll end off with a song.